It's a real privilege and a joy to be here today. We come by here quite often. We go over to the Y in Marshalltown, at least try to a couple times a week, and we drive this way. And other times, I like going this way to Marshalltown from Union because there's not so much traffic. And it's beautiful out in here, the landscape and everything. We really, really enjoy this part of the country. We're originally from Northeast Missouri. Don't hold that against us. We have been up here in Iowa for several years, different places we've ministered over the state, over in the western side, the northern, down in the southern. We helped start a church. And so we've been around a little while. This is really good to be here at Bangor Liberty Church. We have some connections with it over the years. We have some of our folks buried over here. I had their services back here at the graveyard, and we have had some families around here. And our church building itself there in Union is the old Bangor School, the old part of it there on the north side. That was here in Bangor. That's how it got started with its first building, was the Bangor School. And thank you, Bangor, for giving us the start of the church there with the building. And then, too, I think of one family that we really were quite close with for several years, and that was Tom and Lucille Glenn. Some of you remember them. They used to live right across the road here. And I always got quite a charge out of Tom's stories about living out here. One of the things was that he had quite a race one day with a cow. And he was on the tractor, and for some reason or another, that cow wanted to race him, and so they were going lickety-split down through there, and Tom hit a big chug hole or something, and he wrecked the tractor and broke his leg. And I've always thought, I can see him laying there, you know, looking up at that cow. I'd really love to have a picture of that. That would be quite a sight. And so we've had some connections here, and really praise the Lord for you, Pastor. Thank you for letting me fill the pulpit here today, and Bill for the honor to ask me. I've been wanting to get acquainted with them for a while. Every time I drive by here, I think, you know, I got to stop and get acquainted with those people. But always something else going on there where I haven't. But so today gave me an opportunity to meet Pastor and his wife, and really appreciate that. Linda and I travel a lot. Last week we were in Britt, Iowa. That's up in northern Iowa. Do you know what Britt is famous for? Hobos, that's right, hobos. They have hobo days there every year. They have a hobo museum. And so we go up there, we just fit right in, really have a good time with them. And that's also a draft horse, a big festival every year with draft horses. And I haven't gone to that, but I really like to. There's a missionary church there that we've helped quite a bit. We go up there and fill the pulpit and help the pastor, the missionary pastor, to go out and raise support. And so we've really enjoyed going up there. We travel quite a bit. When I retired, we started a ministry called SIM. It's Seniors in Ministry. And we go into churches and places where we help, especially elderly people, write their life stories. And we have some material on that. We help them to write their life story. And that's always such a blessing. To do that, we'll be going for some workshops out in Ohio here in just a few weeks. We have a son that pastors out there at Toledo, Ohio, Duke, and he's been out there several years, pastor of Emmanuel Baptist Church in Toledo, Ohio. And then Mike, our oldest son, is anyone here in the National Guard? Well, Mike is the state chaplain for the Iowa National Guard, for the Army and Air Force Guard. And so we're quite happy with Mike as he fulfills that duty as a state chaplain. Well, I could tell you quite a bit about us. Linda, my wife, right here. Sorry, Linda. I didn't want to overlook you. And she has been really a good wife for many years. And the rest of the years, we just got along. So anyway, we've been married 58 years. And that's good. It'll be coming up 59. So, Lord is good and gracious and merciful for me to find a wife that would stay with me. The first years of my life, I was a lot different than I am now, in the sense that I surely weren't living for the Lord. And it's just a wonder that God's grace that we made it through those hard years to start with in our lives. But today I want to challenge you, as well as myself, to really live the fullness of God. You know, I think Jesus said it real well when he said, I have come to give life, and that life more abundant. God wants us to have an abundant life. And of course, we have to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior to start that. And when we do, see that we're sinners and that we need to be saved and forgiven of our sin, and we come to Him through faith, grace and faith, we are born again. And we find that in that we start a new relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And in that relationship, He wants us to be as full and blessed as possible. And that's, you know, that's the wonderful thing about the knowing the Lord, is that you have the opportunity to really experience a life that is so far above this life here on earth. It's a life really from the heavens, and a heavenly life here on earth, even though we're never perfect. But we find that we are gaining grounds and that we are becoming more like Christ every day. And that's a wonderful, wonderful thing for us to be able to do. I'd like to direct your attention to a passage that really, really shows forth this fullness of God. Here in Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14. This is a prayer of the Apostle Paul. He is praying for the Ephesus church. He's praying that this is what he wants them to have in their lives. He wants them to have this wonderful blessing of an abundant life, of a life that is so tremendous. We find, beginning in verse 14, and this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. There it is. To be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth, and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then the benediction now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory to the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would really help us with this passage and the other passage we'll look at today, to instill in us and challenge us, Lord, each one of us that know Christ as our Savior, to live in the fullness of Christ, to live in the fullness of God, the fullness of the Holy Spirit, to have that wonderful relationship and that it grow and develop into something wonderful and beautiful for this time that we have here on earth. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, there's my starting point, is in verse 17 and verse 18, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you be filled, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Boy, when you're filled with the fullness of God, of course, we know that involves the Holy Spirit. But when we are filled with God's blessing and God's wonder, you know, it's good to see you be able to share your notes of praise and prayer requests, because when those blessings and that fullness of God is in your heart and in your mind, it's got to come out. A lot of times it comes out in singing, you know, wonderful music. Thankful for that today. Sometimes it comes out in testimonies, which what we're involved in mainly, trying to get people, young and old, to write their testimonies and their life stories. But some way or another, to express in an outward way the blessings of God in our lives. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to have. I'd like to illustrate this with a passage of Scripture back in the Old Testament, Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet priest of Judah. He was called during a time of the captivity of God's people for 70 years. He was on the front end of that captivity. And he prophesied and challenged the people with the word of God. He's called the man of God. And he was one that God gave visions and signs and wonders and beautiful illustrations of God's working. Sometimes they're a little bit above us and beyond us. That's why we don't get in Ezekiel all the time. But there's one illustration here I'd like to give you today about moving forward for the fullness of God. And really, kind sometimes how where we're at in that fullness, in that going forth, finding that in our lives. In chapter 47 of Ezekiel, here we have a picture of the temple of God during the millennial period, which is way future yet, but he was a prophetic writer, so he wrote prophecy way ahead. And so this is still ahead, way, way many years, but there's the temple of God there in Jerusalem. Not necessarily the temple that's there now, but a temple that's rebuilt, a temple that has a river that is flowing from it. As you read here and start in verses 1 through 5. And there's a man that's going out and measuring the water. Now, the water there that's coming out from the temple is coming from God. It is full life water. That's the idea, that it's life water. And it has healing in it. It has strength and blessing that's so wonderful of that water that's coming from the temple. And here, Ezekiel, with a vision, sees this going out into the water and measuring the water and where the individual is at in the water. In verse 4, it says, again, he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my knees. I'm sorry, I need to go back one. And when the man went out, verse 3, to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits and he brought me through the waters. The waters came up to my ankles. Now here we find that this water is really a blessing. I mean, it's the fullness of God. It's a blessing. Jesus uses this illustration of water as the water of life. He talks about the water of life, the woman at the well. Later on, he talks about that, how that it flows out of the blessings of God. Psalm 1 talks about the water that passes by the tree that produces fruit, and its leaf shall never wither. So there's a lot about this water of life that's in the Old Testament and New Testament both. But we find here Ezekiel talking about this water, this stream, a river that's coming out of the temple, and here a man is going out in it, measuring the water, and it's up to his ankles. Now, picture that with me, that someone that has all the blessings and the beauty of the Lord and the fullness of the Spirit, all that, and he is ankle deep. You know, I think of that. I think of that as someone that just come to know the Lord, but they never go beyond that. Have you ever known anyone like that? You may be here today like that. I don't know. I doubt it because you're here. But someone that comes to know the Lord and they never grow, they never go beyond that. We've known people in our family and others like that when they were young, they come to know the Lord, but then they never went on with it. They never went on with finding the blessings and the strength of the Lord. I think of Billy Graham's crusades. I have a book at home that says, Thank You, Billy Graham. That's the testimonies of people that were saved in his crusades and under his preaching. It's about that thick. His grandchildren put it together. And that's kind of what we're trying to do in our SIM ministry. But the testimonies of the people that come to know the Lord under his ministry. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people all over the world come to know Christ through his ministry. And the testimonies there are written down. Couldn't be all of them, but it's the ones that were sent in to their evangelism organization that people sent in, the testimonies that his grandchildren put together and made this book. It's really a blessing to read those testimonies. But my mind went to the fact that Billy Graham had a tremendous television ministry. He may be still on some places where they have his crusades. But there were many, many people that watched him on television and his crusades. And a lot of them would never darken the door of a church. I know one especially that way. He would never go to church, but he would watch Billy Graham. He would watch that, and the invitation was given. I pray, and I really think he might have really asked the Lord to forgive his sins and be his Savior with the ministry that's coming through the television. But we don't really know that for sure because he never did go beyond that. Never went beyond that. But he made a profession of faith. I even did that myself. I made a profession of faith and asked the Lord to forgive my sins and be my Savior, come into my life, forgive me. And then I really didn't change much. And I should have, not till a little bit later on. And I didn't enjoy the blessings of God and the greatness, the fullness of God those years. But I had really accepted Jesus to forgive my sins and be my Savior. So I'd look at someone ankle deep like that. There's the blessings, the water, it's all the fullness of the water, the blessings, the greatness of it, and the fullness of it, and then just standing there ankle deep in it. But then he goes on, he talks about the man is out there, and he's knee deep. And that means he can feel the current pretty good. He's gotten involved a little bit more in the blessings of the Lord, but he's still just knee deep. He's standing there knee deep. He hasn't really given his heart and soul to the Lord. He's knee deep in the Lord. He's knee deep in the blessings of the Lord. For years, I was a coon hunter, and I really, you know, that's one thing I like about around here. I always look over here around and think about my coon hunting. I raised coon hunting dogs for several years when we were raising our family. And I used to get the coon hides right before Christmas, a month or two before Christmas, and then I'd sell the hides right before Christmas, and that would be our Christmas. Believe me, we needed it back then. We didn't have money to buy Christmas, and so Linda was always in favor of me going coon hunting because that was our Christmas. Well, one of the dogs I had was Old Blue. Old Blue was a beautiful blue tick coonhound that stood up about yay high. He was so beautiful. Beautiful coonhound. Had this big block head on him, these long ears, and this big old deep ball mouth. He was the ideal coon dog to look at. And so when we'd get ready to go hunting, he was always so anxious to go. He'd just about tear up everything, the car and the pickup, whatever we were going in, to go. And then we'd get out there, and I couldn't hardly hold him. I'd get out there with him, and I would turn him loose. And he was just so raring to go. And he'd go, and the other dogs we had, he'd go with them a little ways. It was always really funny because I could see him a lot of times with my light. And he'd turn around and he'd look at me. And you know what that beautiful coonhound would do? He would come back and walk right beside me while the other dogs were out there chasing, running a coon. Then when we'd get up where the dogs would tree a coon, Old Blue, he would take off and go where they were and tree with them just like he did it. You know, he'd just tree and oh, he did it. He was so wonderful. And, maybe it's not the best illustration of Christians, but sometimes knee-deep Christians, they have a good talk. They might even go to church. But the fullness of the water, the blessings of God, the fullness, there they are, knee deep. Well, it goes on and talks about one waist deep that's out in the water. Again, he measured 1,000 cubits, and their water came up to my waist. So he was in waist deep in that abundant, beautiful water coming from the temple of God, coming from God, the fullness of God. And now he's waist deep. I'll have to admit, that's where I'm at a lot of the times. waist deep. But then there's another one. And it says that here he kept on going in that blessed water. He just kept on going. Finally, it was deep to swim in. He swam. He measured 1 cubit. Again, he measured 1,000. And there was a river that could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. Swimming in the fullness of God, His blessing. That's what Paul was really speaking about there in Ephesians chapter 3. The fullness of God. The fullness of His Spirit. The fullness of the Christian life. The wonder of it. The beauty of it. There's nothing on earth that will surpass that life in Christ. There's nothing on earth. There's nothing that will surpass the blessings of God in your life. Don't settle for just the ankle, the knee, or the waist. Swim. Give yourself completely to it. Dedicate your heart and your life to Christ if you haven't already. I remember going swimming with my dad. And my dad was an alcoholic, and we really didn't go much out together, hardly ever. But I remember one time we went swimming, and I was just real little. And he was a good swimmer. He was in the Navy on the USS Iowa battleship in World War II. Man, he was quite a man, but he had a real problem. But I remember when we went into that lake, Santa Fe Lake, went into that lake that I couldn't swim. I was little. And he said, "Get on my back, and I'll take you out in the deep water." Remember, I did. I got up on his back, and I still remember arms going out swimming, and I was hanging on to his neck for dear life, out in water that I wouldn't last very long. But I got out in the deep water with my dad. Our Heavenly Father is calling us through His Son to go into the deep water. Have you identified yourself going through the water? Well, I challenge you and I challenge myself to listen to Paul's prayer. That fullness of God. The knowledge that the grace that passes all knowledge, the love. I challenge you today to live in the fullness of God for His glory. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this passage, both of them today in Ephesians and Ezekiel. How it's a challenge to me, Lord, to not settle just for just the little things in the Lord, the things that I pass by and sometimes don't really give mine to. Oh, Lord, help my heart and my soul and my mind be completely yours, that you might use me, that you might help us, Lord, in these days of turmoil and trouble in this world, to be a light that shines, to be one that's passing on the blessings that you have put within our lives. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.